Welcome to The Awakened Homeowner. Thinking about a new home or remodel, but feeling lost in a maze of decisions? You're in the right place. I'm William Reed, and for over three decades, I've coordinated the design and construction of hundreds of remodel and new home projects. I know the process can feel overwhelming, but trust me, you can do this. Here, we break it all down step by step so you can feel confident, empowered, and even excited about your project. No stress, no guesswork, just the guidance you need to bring your dream home to life. Let's dive in. We're back into the Lords of the Dirt series as part of the World of Design. And one of the consultants that we're going to be looking at is the geotechnical engineer, or soils engineer, it's often called. We just finished up the land surveying, so now we've documented all the slopes and the boundaries. But now what's beneath our feet and what's supporting the house that we're building on? So that's what we're going to do next, is we're going to go into the studio. It's right behind me, outdoor studio, and talk about soils engineers. See you there. All right, picture this. On the perfect lot. You love your architect and your designer. You've designed an awesome home. Pricing came in reasonable enough to get going, and construction begins. It's been a great process so far because you've been an awakened homeowner and you've done all your homework up front, except this one. You didn't know that a soils engineer or a soils report is a thing that can really drive the structural design of the home. Monday morning, the phone rings, and it's your contractor. He's on your site, and you're excited to hear from him. And he becomes this dark cloud and basically says that we've had to stop construction because we're going to have to dig deeper because the soil that we're hitting is not adequate. Just by his experience, he knows that the soil is not adequate, and he is prudent enough and responsible enough and professional enough to call to your attention. That doesn't happen very often. Many builders just keep going because the project's been designed to be minimum standards and they keep going. Or they start excavating for the foundation and hit rock and boulders that they cannot be moved, that either need to be blasted out or tied into. All of these things are unexpected surprises, which in this particular case that I'm thinking of cost over $100,000. It's all because a geotechnical engineer was not hired. A soils report was not obtained so that the project could be designed properly, meaning maybe the house was put in a different location, the foundation was not designed per the soil that's supporting the foundation. It was done by the minimum standards. And this is a classic example of a nightmare before you even really get going on a project. This episode today is about geotechnical engineers who provide soils reports and other investigation on properties so that this doesn't happen. That's my goal, is to give you a little bit more of what to know so you know what to ask. We're not going to turn you into a soils engineer, but there's some fundamentals here that really matter that I'm sure you're going to get. So let's move into this. So like I said, most homeowners have never really heard of geotechnical engineers and know that they need to do a soils report. And honestly, it hasn't been a requirement for a lot of cities and counties to obtain a soils report to do their plan check to issue a building permit. Instead, data is used that determines a minimum value of what the soils probably are and what the foundation should probably be based on what the soil probably is. And that's how a lot of projects have gone through. Now, if you go online and search a little bit, you'll see there's been some catastrophic situations. I think the latest one I saw was in Utah that I believe was related to poor soil conditions where the brand new homes just literally slid down the hill. Now, that's an extreme situation. Usually the consequences are settlement and sloping and all the way up to major structural retrofitting that has to be done because the soils report wasn't done. So as we're moving forward in the evolution of the building code, it's becoming more and more of a requirement especially in particular regions that a soils report is done, so that the engineer, the structural engineer, can evaluate that and design the foundation accordingly. But here's another one. Before we even get into that, one of the first things a geotechnical engineer does is they research the seismic, potential seismic activity on that particular parcel to make sure that there are no earthquake faults through the property or near the property that could drive the design and the engineering, or frankly, even if it's feasible to build on the property. Now, if you're thinking about buying a parcel, I would recommend that you do some search, and you can even do this on your own, or you could hire a geotechnical engineer before you buy your parcel or make it a contingent part of your purchase agreement. But there are maps nationwide of recorded fault zones, and you can research at the government websites, and I'll put a link to some of these in the show notes, where you can type an address in. You got to take a little bit of a deep dive, especially if somebody doesn't know it. You'll have to learn it all, how to use the software. It's not that complicated, but you have to learn how to use the different layers. But you yourself can look to see if there's an earthquake fault on a property you're thinking to buy or one that you already own. Maybe you've owned it for many years and never did that. But that's one of the first things that a geotechnical engineer will do, is they will do some seismic research, and there's a lot of resources out there online, like I was saying, for them to understand where all the faults are. There's regional fault mapping, there's geological survey data from the government databases. So these are the things that they're going to do to determine that. Now, that's a pretty big surprise if you didn't know you had one of those and all of a sudden that shows up in the report. So if you're on a hillside lot and you've got a fault line near it, this can drive a lot of things. It could drive the location of the structures on the lot. You can build on a lot with an earthquake fault zone, depending on the degree that it is, and you can do it within a certain distance on the property. But as you can imagine, you're definitely taking some risks by doing that. So knowing that going in is important. And if you do that, it could significantly affect the engineering of the home, structural engineering of the home. So when you go to hire an architect, usually nowadays an architect will bring in a separate structural engineer to look at the design that the architect's created and then design the bones of your home, if you will. And if the structural engineer looks at the soils report and the seismic activity zones there, they will have to design the structure accordingly, which is going to increase costs and may limit some of the things that you can do within the structure or within the parcel. So design modifications, where you locate the building, and frankly, you may have to abandon the project. Now, I've had a couple situations like this in a project. I can think of one in Los Altos, California, where we weren't even adding on to the home. It was a remodel project, but we were doing major changes to the interior of the home, major structural changes to the interior of the home. And at that stage of the game, we didn't realize that we needed to have a soils report for a project where we weren't even adding on square footage or get a geotech involved. When the time came that we went into the county to talk to them, the city, they said, you're going to need a geotechnical report because there's an earthquake fault nearby. And I was quite surprised. He said, we're not adding any square footage. We're not building a new home. He said, no, you need to have a geotechnical engineer take a look at the project and provide a report. Sure enough, we did. And sure enough, there's an earthquake fault that goes right through the parcel. And that really restricted us in how much we could build on the property. Then I had another project where a past client of mine had contacted me about purchasing another parcel for a project. And we did some research online ourselves and found that there was a major fault within feet of the parcel. And they took that information in and decided not to purchase the lot. Understanding all this beforehand is really important. Ideally, before you buy the lot, but after you buy the lot, this is one of the first things a geotechnical engineer does, is do that research and find out what is going on and what may need to be done to mitigate that, or what design requirements will need to go into place in order to build a home on that parcel. So what exactly is a geotechnical engineer? So here's the mission of a geotech engineer. So their goal is to determine the soil type and strength at various depths underneath your feet. This is really important because this is what's going to support structure. They'll identify the best soil layer to support your structure, and they have methods in order to do that that we'll talk about. And then they're the authority on specifying the type of foundation, the size and the type of the foundation for the project. So they have a recommendation for the foundation design that the structural engineer and the architect will almost always use when they design the projects, because everybody's trying to cover each other's butt, if you will. And there are different types of foundations. So there are slab foundation, which is just a big mass concrete, thick slab. There's a continuous footing, perimeter footing, where you can crawl underneath your house. And then there's what's called a pier and grade beam, or drilling down into a site to get down to the depth of the soil that will support the structure. So as you can imagine, some of these are more expensive than others, and the soils engineer, geotech, will recommend the method of the foundation, and then the structural engineer will use that input to design it. So that's a pretty big one. And if you don't do a soils report, guess what? Assumptions are being made. And that's not exactly the best situation. If I'm going to spend millions of dollars on a home, I want the thing to be stout. So there you go. Now you know. Another thing that a geotech gets involved in is recommending drainage. So drainage, water, you're going to learn through this whole podcast as we get into more and more details. Water is the number one destroyer of homes. In one way or another, and what we're talking about today is where water can flow in and around and under a foundation that could undermine it and destroy the integrity of the structure. So that is a big part of what the mission is of a soils engineer, not to mention what I've already talked about, which is researching the known earthquake faults in the area by reviewing the geological maps and determine the proximity to the active fault lines and what the actual risk is, the seismic risk. So that's a big part of what they do. So here's what a soils engineer does. Now, again, just like the previous episode with a surveyor, it's not uncommon for your architect to be the orchestrator of the project, and they will bring in the surveyor, they'll bring in the soils engineer, or if you're doing it yourself, you're going to have to do all that on your own, and you're going to know what to know to ask. Get it? I know I mentioned earlier that this is the kind of thing you do before design begins, but I'm going to take that back. This is the kind of stuff you should do before you buy the lot. If you already own the lot, understanding the seismic situation is pretty important before you begin any design work. But what's really important to know is that they really can't do any of their investigative work until the first conceptual design has been done. So for example, if you have a parcel that is larger, let's say it's over an acre, maybe even over a half acre, and especially if you get into the larger parcels where there's going to be options of where you can lay the structures on the site, then it's important for the soils engineer to understand where the buildings are going to go in order to do their investigation work. But you only want to go through the first stage of design, like a schematic level design, where you're conceptualizing the design and you're narrowing down of where these structures are going to go. Then the geotechnical engineer, soil engineer, can do their work. And here's what they do. They will provide a proposal to you. They will go to the site with a survey in hand and the conceptual design in hand. Now, most often than not, the architect has taken the survey, imported it into their software, and overlaid the new design to where they want it. So visualize the geotech engineer walking around your site and perhaps you even had the surveyor mark where the structures are going to be, or you can at least give the general proximity. And then they will use that drawing and determine where they're going to investigate the soil. And usually what they do is they pick a variety of locations that are important. So they may pick three or four different locations of where they'd like to take soil samples. And what they do is they have one of two methods. They either drill, they set up a drilling rig and they drill down into the ground until they get to what they think is a reasonable level. So they will have the engineer on site while they're drilling, and they'll be pulling up sample after sample. And the structural engineer, the soils engineer will look at the dirt visually and determine if it is, they think it's adequate. If they're not sure, they'll keep going and they'll keep going and they'll keep going until they feel like they've hit the proper soil. And what they do is they take samples at the intervals. So 2 feet, 4 feet, 6 feet, 8 feet, 10 feet, whatever their intervals they are comfortable with, they'll take samples and they'll mark what boring number it is, and they'll mark that on the plan, the actual plan, and they'll mark the depth, and they'll take that physical sample back to their shop. So in some cases, they could have 20 or 30 samples of soil that they will analyze in their laboratory or send it out to determine exactly what the composition of the soil is. And they're looking at the compression and all different types of details that are important to determine the foundation recommendation. So this is a key one, because if you haven't done this and you have a contractor building your home and doesn't know enough or care enough, frankly, they're just going to dig the minimum and put your foundation there, and you could have problems in the future with it settling or sliding, or even worse in some cases. So this is a really big part of what they do, is they do all the sampling in the soil. If you happen to have a concern of seismic problems or fault lines, then you get into a lot more work where they actually dig a trench all the way across where the suspected fault line is. And as you can imagine, this can get costly. But the maps and everything that they have to do the initial research just really aren't that accurate to pinpoint exactly where the fault is. So they will find where the fault is, and these guys can actually look and at this side view of a pit or a trench and go, oh, there it is. And then that can get marked. And then you now know exactly where. Well, hopefully you don't have to deal with that, because that can get really costly. So you've got the soil testing on site, and you may have the seismic testing on site, but not nearly as often as almost what should be a standard, which is the soils report. So after this actual physical site work takes place. All right, quick reminder, everybody. Everything we're talking about today and so much more is in the Awaken Homeowner book. At less than 0.1% of your project cost, it's the best investment you'll make. Grab your copy on Amazon and keep it by your side throughout your entire project. Trust me, you'll refer to it again and again. What the geotechnical engineer will be providing you is a report. Most people call it a soils report. And they will have, it's a multi-page document, and they will have kind of their opinion on the project. They will have their observations, they call it. And they will have the data, the boring data, the soil sampling data on there. And it's a table format and a graph, and it'll show. And you're not expected to know how to read all this, but it doesn't take much to learn it. And who's really going to look at that is your architect and your structural engineer. And they're going to see what soils were where and then design the project accordingly. Or they may move the buildings to different parts of the property, depending on the soils report and the geotechnical seismic report. So they will provide an actual document that will be used by them. And also this gets usually submitted to the city building department for approval. So in the city building departments, they have their own engineers, and they validate the information that you've provided from your engineers. So they've got two different people talking together. So they're going to recommend, based on all of this, in their recommendations, They're going to show you the different soils at different depths. They're going to recommend the excavation depth, how far you should go down. And they're going to recommend the foundation type, such as the slab or the continuous footing or the drilling, and the size of those. So they're capable of all of that. And then they're even going to specify the type of concrete, meaning the specification in the concrete. So I don't know if you knew that, but there's different specifications that you can have in concrete called the PSI, which is how strong the concrete is. So 25 PSI, 35 PS, 3,500 PSI, and so on and so forth. They will recommend the concrete to go into, to go the mix of the concrete specifications. And then they get into the drainage. So as you can see, this is really important. Now, I've had projects where I can think of one now. We were designing a project up here, and we were prudent enough to do a soils report ahead of time. And it turns out that there was a lot of clay in the soil. Now, if you don't know, clay soil is an expansive material. So if you've ever lived in a home where one part of the season, it feels like the cracks are showing, and then you're done with that season. That's usually in the wintertime when the soil expands. And then in the summertime, the soil contracts and the cracks go away sometimes, or the doors fit better on the side of the house. I grew up in a home like this, and that's because I grew up in the Bay Area, and a lot of the soil in the Bay Area is clay, at least in the South Bay Area. And we found clay. But what they did, and I actually stood there and was present during the digging, and I was able to watch and I could see the different layers. I didn't know what I was looking at necessarily, but he pointed to the clay. And then as he got down further, he pointed to the adequate soil that would take the compression of the house. And then they did the testing and confirmed that. Here's what matters, is that we now know that we had to actually dig 3 feet deeper. I think it was 3 feet deeper for the foundation and the whole house, the whole perimeter of the house. It was a pretty good sized house. Now we found that out ahead of time. And then we were able to budget for the project ahead of time. It hurt to analyze that cost early on for the owner because now we know. Now what would really hurt is if the expectation was the foundation was going to be $100,000 and now it's $185,000 or whatever. That's where it really hurts, where you're not expecting that and you didn't budget that as an owner. And what really hurts if nobody says anything and you build the house and things start to move and settle. And that's the worst case scenario. And we're avoiding all of that by spending $5,000 on a soils report. Yeah, we're going to spend more money on the foundation, but isn't that what our goal is, to build a quality home here? So the soils report is absolutely imperative that you do when you're building a new home and maybe even doing a remodel or an addition. Sometimes remodel and additions are not as critical because you have an existing structure that's been there all these years. The soil composition hasn't changed in the last 50 years. So you may not need a soils report as much there. But don't rule it out until you ask the questions to your architect. So the soils engineers provide all this data. The project is designed accordingly. Then they're not done yet. Just like I spoke about with the surveyors, a soils engineer is part of the construction process. And what I mean by that is they observe the foundation being dug. And it's prudent for you to have them do that and analyze the soil again everywhere that the foundation's being dug and certify that the soil is adequate, that the depth of the foundation is adequate. A smart contractor, a smart homeowner, a smart architect, a smart structural engineer will have the surveyor certify that that the foundation has been, excavation has been done to an adequate depth. And now you have a peace of mind that you've done everything you can do to make sure the structure is sound. And you'll notice in the soil report or your contract with your geotechnical engineer, they have a lot of disclaimers about this, that you could go to all the trouble of doing a geotechnical soil report, but if you don't have them certify it on site, they don't become liable for anything. So close the loop. Bring them in during construction to certify that the soils, and this is part of the protection of our guiding principles. So let's review here a little bit. So when do you need a soils engineer? Most definitely new home construction. Probably significant expansions or additions. For sure, homes on sloping lots. And also just areas known with soil challenges. A lot of times the locals will know that there's been certain soil challenges that have been experienced in other projects and need to listen to all that. And that's why working with local architects, local structural engineers, local geotech engineers are going to understand the neighborhood that you're in and the likeliness of soil issues. Okay, so hopefully you're getting this, that this is number two of three of the Lords of Dirt and the soils engineer and the land surveyor. So what do you do about it? How do you make sure this is happening? Let's talk a little bit about some questions you can ask your architect before you actually even begin design. And here's a few examples. Will this project require a geotechnical investigation? Are there any known fault lines in this area? What are the seismic requirements for this location? What are the soil conditions like in this area? How will soil conditions affect our foundation design and cost? Architects know a lot of this, and they can advise you because they've interfaced probably with hundreds of soils engineers on many projects. So they're going to be able to explain to you the process, the likelihood of extreme conditions. Ultimately, the geotech engineer will tell you that. These are really good questions to ask, and maybe even before you buy the lot, so that you don't get yourself into trouble. Then during the design, you can be asking questions like, how are you incorporating the soil report recommendations? What seismic design requirements apply to our project? What assumptions are being made about the soil conditions? Will the geotechnical engineer observe our foundation construction? So now you're letting your designer and your architect know that you care about this. If you hear some answers like, we'll just make an assumption of what the soil is, or the city only requires this, or the minimum is that, those days are gone. When you're going to spend this kind of money, why not know for sure? A soils report could cost $5,000. $10,000. I don't know. It depends on the region and the location, but I've spent $5,000 to $7,000 on soils reports. That's a drop in the bucket for people that are trying to build a quality home. If you're a DIYer and one of those on the Facebook groups trying to spend $200 a square foot to build a home, you might as well cut this corner because you're not building a quality home anyway. So people that are building custom homes, higher quality homes, this is a drop in the bucket to figure out the best design so that you can sleep at night. So the red flags to watch for are for architects or designers that kind of dismiss that, okay? Dismiss the soils engineering. And why would they do that? They just feel it's unnecessary. They might feel it's unnecessary cost. They don't want to take the time to do it. If you go back to the World of Design episode where I talked about the different profiles of architects, you'll recognize some of them in there that would probably just try to dismiss it out. And then some of them say, we'll just figure that out during construction. What do you mean? You mean like we're going to be one of those people that gets that change order in the email Monday morning for $85,000? No, we're not going to be those people. So these are some of the red flags to watch out for. You're going to want to lay the groundwork with your builder as well. You're going to want to let them know that we care about this project. We care about the structure of this project. And if you see anything related to the soil condition that you're not happy with, suppose they're digging the foundation and all of a sudden they hit water. That happens. We want to know about that. We want to engage with our soils engineer. Now, contractors get discouraged by that because it's just going to slow them down and delay the project. But it's not their home, it's yours. And yes, it's going to cost you money, but at least, at the very least, you're informed so that you are the person making the decision, not somebody else without your knowledge. And this is what the soils reports are all about. So here's the big picture. Your foundation is only as good as the soil it sits on. Think about that. There's a ton of weight in a house, more than a ton, many tons. They're sitting on this soil. And if it's not adequate, it's just going to fall apart in one degree or another. Geotechnical engineers is kind of like an insurance policy against any foundation disasters, but also an insurance to build a quality home for minuscule amount of what you're going to spend building the home. This kind of small investment can prevent massive costs later. Let's say, for example, the house is fine, but you did this big retaining wall to hold the hillside up. If that wasn't engineered based on the soils report with the soil samples taken in that location, that retaining wall could slowly move on you and eventually come down. If the drainage wasn't considered properly around or behind that retaining wall because of the recommendations from the soils engineer and eventually the civil engineer, talking about next, that retaining wall is going to fail. And then that water will then slowly work its way into the structure. This is a compounding thing. So if you're assembling a land surveyor, a soils engineer, and eventually a civil engineer, which is next up, this is the trifecta, if you will, of the lands, the lords of the dirt. These are the guys that we need to help protect us, to build a quality home. That is my message today about geotechnical engineering, soils engineering. Don't rule it out. I highly recommend you just do it and let's see what happens. My name is Bill Reed. This is the Awakened Homeowner podcast. And up next is civil engineering. We'll see you there. Thanks for tuning into the Awakened Homeowner. Remember, you've got the power to take control of your project from day one. If you're ready to dive deeper, grab the Awakened Homeowner book on Amazon. It's your roadmap to success. Join our community at theawakenedhomeowner.com and download our free story, The Tale of Two Homeowners. And here's something exciting. I'm developing an app called BuildQuest that's going to revolutionize how you plan and manage your project. Visit buildquest.co to become a founding member and test drive the app when it launches. Follow us on social media and hit that subscribe button. All the links are in the show notes and bio. Got questions? I'd love to hear from you. This is Bill Reed. You got this.